is a father was drafted by an NFL football team. Second one is I have been less than 1 mile from the South Sudan border in Africa. And the third one is I am a Boston Red Sox fan. So, father was drafted by an NFL team. I've been less than a mile from the South Sudan border in Africa. And I am a wonderful fan of the Boston Red Sox. Okay? All right, first one. Father was drafted by an NFL team. That's part of my testimony, actually. All right, so second one. Less than a mile from the South Sudan border in Africa. I got one. And the third one, I'm a Boston Red Sox fan.
You hesitated way too long. I'm all a liar too.
Yeah, no one is a Red Sox fan would be a Raiders fan. I grew up in New England.
That's a gift.
Yeah. Well, they want to talk about my life as a stripper. That's why they want to. All right. Thanks for having me here. This is wonderful. I've had a great time already. We got like, two sessions tomorrow. And I really want it to be a time where I like to be interactive with what I do. And so, and we're going to look at a couple of different Bible passages tomorrow and really just how Scripture speaks into worry and anxiety. You know, we as men, we kind of think of those are weaknesses. Well, you don't show up when I'm worried about something or anxiety that we carry. But I think we're living this, particularly in a time right now, where there's worry and anxiety about lots of different things. And we'll kind of think those through out loud tomorrow. But as you consider that, this is a homework assignment, ready? Just be thinking through what are those, being perfectly honest with myself. What are those things that really, that keep me, what keeps me awakened? What's that thing that, man, it's just, that really concerns me. Or it's just kind of a gnawing worry or anxiety that just kind of wells up within us every now and then. As men, it could be relationship related, it could be financially related, it could be regarding our marriages, it could be regarding our kids, it could be regarding, you name it, it could be anything in life. And so we're just going to kind of draw those out a little bit tomorrow. And then just kind of think through how God's Word speaks to it and how we can kind of filter those things through God's Word. And we'll be looking at, if you want to, I'd like you to read 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 10 tonight, just sometime before you go to bed. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 10. And those are the verses we're looking at in the morning, the first session. And we just take some time to walk down through them. Just kind of make some observations about the text. You don't need to write it down. Just kind of note what's in there. So I want the time to be just a time to just encourage us as we think through, as I have thought through those things and asked those questions of myself. Sometimes I'm coming back with answers sometimes that are a little bit, I don't like that I feel like that. That thing shouldn't worry me. And why is that such a threat to me? You know, what's threatening that thing? Why am I holding so tight to that? Whatever it is. And so we're going to talk about all this tomorrow. And it's just mostly just get us thinking. Just kind of give us some tools to think through that process of, it may be, we old guys, we got to go eat first tonight. Okay, now I'm getting towards retirement. What am I going to do? Am I financially okay with that? What am I, you know, I got, and whatever that may be. Or, you know, younger guys, it's like, what am I going to do? It's kind of what I'm doing with my life now. Is that what I always want to do? And am I going to kind of get stuck in what I'm doing? And those types of things, I'm just going to kind of talk that through and think, just kind of look at how Scripture deals with that, specifically in the morning, that passage in 1 Peter. So we'll talk about that in the morning. So, my testimony begins in Petaluma, California. And does anybody know what Petaluma, California is? It's famous for two things.
Why?
What is it? Farming.
No.
Chocolate?
No, it stands for two things. One of them it's been on, actually both things it's famous for, you would have seen on television. Anybody know? Okay, you older guys. Guys who ate first. ABC's Wide World of Sports. Okay? Saturday mornings?
Yeah.
All right, guys remember that? Okay. In the early days, they used to show wrist wrestling competitions. And that was from a little civic hall in Petaluma, California. My dad, we'd sit there and watch this on ABC Wide World of Sports, and my dad is recognizing guys in the crowd. Wow. He's like the guy refereeing. I used to coach football with him. You know, there's Jim and there's Tony, and it was just very surreal as a little kid. So that's one thing Petaluma is famous for. It's north of San Francisco, about 30 minutes. That's where it is. So the second thing is, in the early days of Apollo, when the parachutes on the Apollo capsules, they were made in Petaluma. Yeah. This was a made one. So that's it. That's all we got. Petaluma. I was also the chicken capital of something too. So Petaluma, California. I was born there because my dad was teaching high school science at the Petaluma High School, teaching high school science and coaching football and track and swimming. I don't know why he was coaching swimming. He was a swimmer, but that's what he did. Come from a Christian background, believers. My grandfather was a missionary. He was actually a missionary to the Navajo Indians way back. It would probably been the early, late 40s, early 50s. And then he went, he was all West Coast. That was Arizona. And then I was a pastor, did some things in the education world, some university stuff, all the Bible schools out there. And so I grew up, and then my dad has all brothers, and all believers, and so I grew up in a Christian home, grew up going to church, knew the gospel since I can remember. I don't remember a time where I didn't know about Christ, his sacrifice for me, the fact that I was a sinner. There was never a point in my life I remember previous to that, and I'm very thankful for that. And if that's your story, be thankful for that. It's just I know not God hasn't brought everyone through that same down that same path, and I'm just very thankful for what he did with that. So, but a danger in that is you just kind of walk through your Christian life, and I was kind of doing that even at the age of 8, 9, and 10. I knew the stuff, but God didn't really bring it to my heart, from my head down to my heart. So when I was 10, just by myself in my bedroom one night, but this time we moved from California to Clarkstown, Pennsylvania, and Lord just convicted me, this Holy Spirit, that I needed to place my trust in Christ's finished work on the cross, that it was sufficient for my sin, that it would gain me heaven, gain me eternal life, and that's what I did when I was 10. So grew up as a just a normal Christian kid. My dad was a science professor at Baptist Bible College in Pennsylvania. Like I said, his claim to fame was being drafted by the Washington Football Club. drafted by the Washington Redskins. And
is that what they're naming them
that's
now?
What,
oh
yeah,
my god!
So, and I always thought that was the coolest thing. I thought it was like my dad was, you know. And then, but it was back in the day. It's not as impressive as it sounds, because it was, they had 30-some rounds back then. Like, each team would draft. But there were less teams, so, again, it's kind of impressive. But he was drafted, maybe Jack Kemp. Remember Jack Kemp?
Yeah,
quarterback. He was drafted that same year as Jack Kemp. And so did a couple other guys. He played against Fuzzy Thurston in college. So, and it was just a, he played with his college, on his college team, he played with Dick Camp. And Dick Camp eventually became the chaplain at West Point for a lot of years. And so it was just kinds of cool connections that he had. So anyway, so Dad was teaching at Baptist Bible College in Clark Summit, and I was just going to the local school. I got three brothers, and we just all grew up together, just doing stupid brother stuff. And I was second of four brothers, no sisters, and grew up riding a skateboard down our street, real steep downhill street, Lansdowne Avenue, or probably did something he wasn't supposed to do on that street at some point. And so I just grew up doing normal stuff. And so in a good church, and so I'm really thankful for all that, but there's really no impact of who I was in Christ in any of that. So graduated high school. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I really had no idea. I thought, I knew what I liked to do. I liked to play sports. I liked to watch sports. So I thought, I'm going to go, with my dad being at the school, at the college, I thought, I'm going to go to college for 2 years, get a Bible degree. I could do that almost free because I would get tuition free. I could live at home. And then I was going to go to another university, get a phys ed degree so I could coach and teach phys ed, and that's what I was going to do. I thought that was a great plan. So ended up going to Baptist Bible College. This is the fall of 1980, and ended up staying on campus instead of staying home. And Lord just brings people into your life, you know. One of the guys who spoke here a few years ago, Paul Wilson, I don't remember Paul, we kind of grown up together, and we roomed together our first year of college. Just God bringing people into your life that just speak truth to you, and just reinforce the truths of Scripture, even when you don't realize it's happening. And that's just something I look back on now. I'm so thankful for that. And so those first 2 years of college, I was just kind of going to college, playing soccer. I wasn't good enough to do anything else, so I just played soccer. And enjoyed that time. And it was my sophomore year of college. It was spring. It was February of our sophomore year. I always had a missions conference. They did. They brought some missionaries in. And I'd been in conversation with one of our missions professors about doing kind of an internship program overseas. And always been interested in missions. Hadn't, not a particular draw or calling or whatever you want to call it, to missions, but I was interested in it, so I thought, you know, I'm going to at least investigate it. And I thought it'd be cool to go somewhere overseas. So I was kind of investigating that. And interested in that type of thing. So at a missions conference, spring of 1982, and Lord just used that conference to really kind of bend and mold my heart a little bit to how, man, I could probably do something in missions, and that would be okay to do. So that summer, with another friend of mine and I, We went to Ivory Coast, West Africa for 8 weeks. At the time, I'd been dating my wife, Lisa. We met in high school, broke up for about a week because she thought she wanted to date other guys. It's a totally other story. So anyway, then we got back together. So we're dating through college. And so she had an opportunity to go to the Philippines, basically the same time I was in Ivory Coast in Africa. She's going to the Philippines. And so we didn't have a lot of communication. We weren't writing, you know, there's no email, there's nothing. You got to sit down and write a letter, and you can imagine what a letter from Africa to the Philippines or vice versa, what that looks like. So not a whole lot of communication has taken place. So it's interesting how God works in people's lives, because the guy I was with, who I ended up serving with in Florida for 15 years, I'll get to that story in a minute. God used those 8 weeks in Ivory Coast to really show him that missions wasn't for him. We were together 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 8 weeks. We were never apart. So we had the exact same experiences with the Africans. But God used those same 8 weeks in my life to really show me, you know, he could use me in some way. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what that looked like, but God can use me in missions in some way. And even just in ministry in a general sense, whether it was, I was very open to overseas. And so came back from that summer. Now it's my junior year. Stayed. Changed the major. Well, it was a Bible major, but a minor in missions. And stayed and, you know, just went through stuff, played. Still played soccer and everything else. And so then the Lord, and so the wife, not my wife yet, we're still dating, you know, Lord had used her time in the Philippines to show her, she'd never been out of her little town. She lived in a town with about as many people in it that are in this room. That's not a lie. Little Brooklyn, Pennsylvania. Didn't look fine in it. So she, for her to go to the Philippines was like going to the moon. I mean, it was just so far out of her reality. So, but she came back from that with that same prompting of the Holy Spirit in her heart. So, you know, God can use me in this type of thing. And so we talked about it. We came back together. We talked about it. And God wasn't necessarily drawing me back to Ivory Coast or her back to the Philippines, but we were drawn towards ministry together. And so graduated in 84, spent a year in seminary, waited a year to get married after college because my dad was on the faculty. I didn't pay tuition for seminary. It was a very selfish motivation. I didn't pay the money. But so we waited a year to get married, and she was teaching, and so they got married, did some more seminary. And then God was just directing us towards, really, you know, involved in our local church, just all kinds of different ministries. And we had always had a relationship with the mission agency we ended up going with was a group called the Association of Baptist World Evangelism. Anyway, one of their key people we just had a great relationship with. And so that kind of drew us towards them. And so we were just looking for where could God use us. It wasn't really this call to a specific place. It wasn't this call to a specific people. It was, God, where can you use us in our gifting? And it wasn't necessarily we were committed to overseas, but we're just open to everything. And since then, I've come under what I feel is a clearer understanding of calling in my life. And we look at it as three things. It's kind of biblical. I've done some study on it and talked to other people about calling. We can talk about this in a side conversation. But I think our view of calling can kind of get sideways a little bit. So you'll look at desire, look at gifting, and we'll look at opportunity. And those three things. No, desire, is that desire in our heart? Is there gifting? Is the gifting there? And that gifting part, that's where we rely on the local church. Does the local church recognize my needs or my abilities, my giftedness to go do something? You know, say, well, God's calling me to be a missionary, and there's just no evidence of any gifting to do that. And that's where the local church and other people speak into it very heavily. And the third thing is opportunity. Is there a reasonable opportunity for me to go do that? What does that look like? Where can that gifting best be used? And so, and I was kind of already thinking through that grid. I just had just never laid it out. And so we ended up applying for this mission board and not knowing where we were going. We didn't know. I was open to anything. I wasn't particularly interested in going back to Africa. I'm just not like an Africa kind of guy. Whatever that means. Wasn't drawn to like Asia, those types of things, but we weren't close to them either. And so this was back in the days when, pre-PowerPoint days, pre-video days, it was slide projectors. Old guys remember that? Okay. So slide projectors, and so it was, Now, sometimes if they stay there too long, the bulb would melt, So slide projectors, and so every night, we were in this training for about 3 weeks, and every night, we'd get two what they call field presentations. It was, Papua New Guinea or Norway. It was... you name it. It was Ecuador or name a country. So, and they go, here's the need. Everybody's got a need. Everybody needs you in their country. Because you're the fresh meat and they want you to come and fill a need that they have. And so it's a lot of pressure. And so every night you're going back to your dorm room and you're talking about it and it's exhausting. And so one of the presentations was on Italy. And so, never considered Italy as a possible place to go serve on the mission field. I hadn't even thought about it. So, Lisa and I came back to our dorm. At this point, we're married. I messed up that part. We got married. had a kid by this point. Yeah, sorry. Not just going back to dorm room. So glad she's not here. So go back to the dorm room, and we're talking about it, and it's one of those things where that desire part of the calling, God is that there's a larger desire for ministry and service, but there's that more specific part of that desire, and it just kind of hit, I believe the Holy Spirit has kind of given us a kind of a focused desire, because as we thought through different things, growing up, right, did in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania, you're either Catholic or there was our little Baptist bubble. That's what it was. And 95% of it was Catholic. So everybody I knew who wasn't in my little Baptist bubble was Irish, Polish, Italian, and Catholic. They fell into those things somewhere. So God just even prepared me in that. Not knowing. I had no idea. And that was it. Part of that gifting kind of rolls into that a little bit. Just the awareness of just how the Catholic mind can think. And just using a lot of same terminology, those types of things. So God used that. And we kind of thought that through. A new team was being formed where we felt our gifting was. The team kind of needed that on the field. There were things that we felt God had given us to do ministry-wise really well, but there were other things that we knew we weren't very good at. That somebody else would need to do that. And so God had formed that team to do that. And so we prayed about it. God just kept giving us, and the opportunity was there. So we're praying, and God just directed us with this team in Italy. So that was 1988. God directed us directly to Italy, and we got there in real early part of 1993, and then proceeded to serve there 10 years. And what we did, it was church planting, brand new churches. It was a brand new country for our mission agency, so we weren't coming into any established work. Everything was brand new. So as we would come together, the first few years you're learning language, just learning the Italian language, and just pouring into that. Our kids are going to the Italian schools and just becoming a part of the community. And so you're identifying people. You run into these nominal Christians, different places. They're just not going to church anywhere. And you're spending vast majority of your time with unbelievers. which is just very different from the kind of culture local culture I come from. So as we just grew in that, working with our team, got a church plant going. We were meeting in the basement of a hotel. This is the room we meet every, when we first started, we meet the first and third Sunday of every month. And it was a meeting room, and if there'd been a party in there the Saturday night before, we had to clean up. Sometimes it was a lot of cleanup. Sometimes it was something else. We had to get it set. And so ministering in that climate was really the church that met. We really weren't a church yet. We were just meeting as a group of people. It was about at least half of the group was consistently just unbelievers. They would just come because we'd created a relationship with them and grow in that relationship, and they would come and give them just the opportunity. We would do things in that room, activities, so it'd get them into the room where we're not doing church, which was very important for the Italians. And so, you know, it's similar like having guys come into church and play basketball. They're just playing basketball, but they're in church, in the building, so it breaks down some of those things. So we did that. So we were in that church plant for 7 years. The church plant's still going great. They really get a building. It's just going wonderfully. We had moved to a new church plant. We had some new couples come into the field. And rather than put all the missionaries in one church, we decided to divide a little bit. And so we went to started another church plant in another town with some other missionary friends of ours. And we were there 3 years. And so during those 3 years, again, God is kind of directing and leading, and our kids are getting the teenage years. We had an opportunity to roll back to the States in the ministry. The desire was there. We had opportunity for it through a church that the guy who had gone to Ivory Coast with, he's the pastor of this church. So we had some conversations with him. And then the gifting part of it, what we did, where our strengths were, was what he needed. So, to make a real long story really short, we came back to the States in 2003 and in Florida, and we're down there for 15 years in a missions pastorate, did some youth as well, did a lot of quite a bit of kind of sports-based outreach, and if you're familiar with the Upward program, we did that, and that worked pretty well for us. And along with that, I did youth for a while. I did missions all the way those 15 years, or just different parts of our mission program. And then the missions part just kind of kept growing and growing and growing. Got rid of the youth part. Missions was growing. A new youth guy left. I went back into missions for a little while. I was way too old for all of it. Came back out of that and just in the missions part. So, and then in part of that growth, we inherited a bunch of a group of 12 missionary families that had been based in West Africa from another mission that had basically failed and run out of money. So we absorbed them into our mission. And so all of a sudden now we're in charge of these missionaries who are in countries like Benin. I didn't know where Benin was. I had to look it up. And so what resulted in that was a lot of trips to West Africa, to Mali, to Niger, to Benin. We had another family down in Nigeria. But we never went to Nigeria because it was too dangerous. John's done everything. Of course, he went to Nigeria. So several times. And is that where you got the guy's hand cut off?
No, that was
Nigeria?
Near Mecca and Jeddah.
Oh, that was near Mecca. Sorry, wrong comments. wrong story. So just engaging in missions. So missions has been our life, really. That's what we've done. That's kind of been how God has led in our life. And so 10 years in Italy, 15 years down in Florida, just the church staff enjoyed it, loved it. And again, the Lord just kind of working in our lives about, we had, our kids are all gone, kids are getting married, we got four kids, three of them are married, we got seven grandkids, they're scattered from Oahu, Hawaii, to Indianapolis, Indiana, to Largo, Florida, and one lives with us in Kentucky, in Louisville, Kentucky, which is where I live, never mentioned that. So, and so God was just getting working in our heart. And so our kids are out of the house for the most part. Our youngest daughter at the time was away at college, so it was just Lisa and I and the dog. So we'd always been praying about, Lord, if when opportunity comes, we'd love to get back into missions full time. So a large part of what we're doing involved missions, but it wasn't just missions all the time. And so we're just praying about opportunity. God, if you want this for us, give us opportunity. We weren't seeking anything out. We were just praying for God to make it clear. And right now, I'm with a ministry called Reaching and Teaching International Ministries. And I'll talk about more about that in a minute. But what... and our daughter-in-law was working for them as a secretary for the president. So we had let them know. So look, why don't you guys be praying about this? We're sensing God is, we have opportunity now to get back into missions full time. We don't know what that looks like. We don't know where it is. We don't know any of those questions. We don't know the answers to any of those questions. But we want you guys to be praying about it. So our kids were involved in that and they were praying. So as the secretary to the president, these job opportunities would come across her desk. Couple came across her desk and she shot them to us in an email. She said, you guys need to do these jobs. I'm like, wow. Okay, so we look at them. And which, interestingly enough, is not anything what I'm doing now. This is only about 2.5-3 years ago. And so it just totally changed. Anyway, so I'm looking at it and Lisa looks at it. And she says, this is what we're doing now. We're so equipped to do this. And it was just kind of missionary care. It was just missionary strategic, just kind of thinking through with missionaries, kind of what their needs are, their kids' needs, all those types of things. It was just wrapped up. So the gifting part was answered. The opportunity was kind of in front of us. And the desire, God was growing that desire. And so as we're thinking this through, we're praying about it, thinking it through, the opportunity is still there. And at the time, my brother was a missionary down in Trinidad and Tobago. He's on the island of Trinidad. And so, previously, we went down to see them, to visit them for a week. And previous to going down, we turned our applications in to this, to the Reaching and Teaching. We thought, you know, we're not good enough. They could say, you guys are too old, we don't want you. It could be that simple. And so, but we're not going to know that until we apply. And if we get rejected, we get rejected, and God answered, and let's keep going. So, but we applied, and didn't hear anything. And so we're sitting in my brother's house on this little patio thing they had in Trinidad, and our phones ding, and they said, we'd like to have you guys join us with Reaching and Teaching. So I haven't had a lot of conversation with our church at this point. We've been there 14 years, 13 and a half years at this point. And I talked to some people, so there's some awareness, but there was no decision made. So we let them know what was happening. They asked us to stay on at the church through the end of the year, all the way through the end of 2017. Now, at the end of that, they allowed us some time to get some support raised, kept us on payroll, and allowed us to get some support raised, which was very, 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 very gracious of them. And so then in 2018, first week of 2018, we moved up to Pennsylvania to take care of my wife's parents. And I was, our roles with Reaching and Teaching is we're out of a virtual office. So there's no physical office that we're going to. And we really could have lived anywhere. So we said, look, we're going missionary status. We've got the freedom to go to Pennsylvania. We'll go and take care of of my wife's parents. And so her mom had pancreatic cancer. Her dad was going into pretty severe dementia. And it was just a real bad combo. So we said, we'll go take care of him. So we did that. Her mom died a few months later. Her dad went to a memory care facility. We made a transition to Louisville, Kentucky. Then her dad came to live with us. And he passed away back in April. So, but through all of that, God was just working in it. And I look back onto those real early days of just being raised in a Christian home, that heritage and that thankfulness for that, knowing the truth of the gospel way back then. Never doubted it. Never doubted the truth of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, the sufficiency of Christ's death to pay the full atonement of my sins. And I've never doubted that in my life, and I'm so, so thankful for that. And as I grow in my understanding of Scripture, grow my understanding of theology, and those things, it just gets more and more cemented in my heart and in my mind. And so that's why, that's one of the things that drew us to our new ministry, because our agency, Reaching and Teaching, we are really focused on good, solid, sound theology and training up pastors to do that and do that well. So we go... The ministry we're involved in now, there's two arms to it. The one arm is short-term training trips for pastors, where we get to gather pastors, countries all over the world, bring them together, and we do ideally, we do a three-year training. There's three modules a year for 3 years. So they get, it's everything from Old Testament to hermeneutics to New Testament to ecclesiology to all this stuff. So this curriculum that we take, and we do that with national leaders helping us do that. And then the other side, where I 99% of my work is now, is we send missionaries around the world. And my responsibility, we have two regional leaders. I'm one of the two regional leaders. The one regional leader, he's got Central and South America, and I've got the rest of the world. I'm like, wait a minute. Look at the globe for a minute. So what happened was our mission started in Central and South America. And so that was for a while. That was where most of our missionaries were. But our other part of the world has just grown just exponentially, which is fantastic. We just appointed a missionary to the United Arab Emirates. We got a guy who is going to be taking over, helping with the church in Ireland, a Baptist church in Ireland. We got a couple that's getting ready to go probably to Turkey. So it's just amazing what God has done. Even in the midst of this COVID stuff, God is growing and doing a work around the world that you can't believe. People get saved. We got some guys in Southeast Asia where he's been working in this church for several years. He said just last week there's a guy that got saved. I've been working with him for 6 years, and he came to Christ in a culture that coming to Christ is you're basically saying goodbye to your family. I mean, just amazing stuff that God does. So that's what I do now. I get the care and help think through strategies with missionaries from Southeast Asia to the Middle East to Norway to got a guy going to Kenya, Africa here at the first part of next year. So just a great privilege to do that. And you know, I tell people, if there's, I can't do anything outside of missions. You know, if I'm not qualified to do anything else. You know, so it's, you know, I just can't, I'm stuck in missions. So, but it's great. We love it. We love ministering to people. We love talking to people about mission opportunities to get involved with missions, with trips. We do our short-term training trips. It's trips of like two or three guys. And they take this curriculum and they train pastors. They train them in these truths. And it's just fantastic to see what God does through those things and serving the other missionaries. And so I'm just thankful for this opportunity. Thank you for Mark for allowing me to come. We were, you know, Mark says in college, in 4 years in college, we spoke maybe 20 words to each other. It's not because we didn't like each other. We just really didn't. We ran in different circles. And so we've really reconnected probably in the last two and a half years. And it's just been, it's been glorious. It's been wonderful. And I knew that I would like you guys because I like Mark. And I knew, kind of knew your personality as a group because I know Mark's personality. So it's all good. It's all good. Don't, yeah, I'm not, that's a positive comment. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm thrilled to see what God is doing at the church. This kind of thing is fairly unique. Don't think this is normal. A guy is coming together, and it's just from an out, taken from an outsider looking in. It's, I just see a friendship and a bonding and an ease with one another, an openness with one another. You know, there's not, I don't see a facade going up in front of one another. That's very refreshing, and I appreciate that. And so don't take that for granted, and just just drill deep into one another's lives. Just do that, and just help, just be that iron that sharpens the edge around you. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow, a couple sessions, just looking at God's word and really how it plays into our worries and our anxieties. And it's the only way that's going to work tomorrow is if we're honest about, well, here's the stuff, and we don't have to verbalize all of it, I get that, but here's the things that worry me. It could be health, it could, you name it. And so we're going to talk about that, and just what God's word says, and hopefully we'll be encouraged and uplifted by that. So thanks.
Would you pray, please?
Let's pray. Father, thank you for just your goodness and your grace to us. It's undeserved. And thank you for us personally. Thank you for this opportunity to be here. Thank you for these men. Most, except for Mark, I had never met before. And I'm thankful that just that immediate bond we have in Christ. And yet, Father, I pray that we can sharpen one another as we look to your word and just get some tools in our tool belt for addressing worry and anxiety, and just those things that well up inside of us that cause us concern, that keep us awake at night, that cause us these stresses. And how we can turn those over to you, and we understand how our identity in Christ is so important as we wade through those things. So Father, thank you for this time, and I look forward to the rest of this evening, and we spend several hours together tomorrow, that you would use your word, Father, to impact us deeply. I ask all this in Christ's name.